Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh roads.
Oh yeah, welcome to episode 238 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and boy, we're really emphasizing preparedness these days. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And believe me, there's a whole lot of folks out there right now wishing that they had some Heaven's Harvest as opposed to that stuff you may have bought out of Costco. You know, those little boxes that you got for $100 about, you know, a decade ago. And then you open it up for the first time only to find out that these 2,000 calories that they give you every single day with these meals are mostly juice mixes. Can you dig it? I'm dead serious, y'all. Sam's, Costco, all of them, man. They are scamming people like nobody's business. So, look, source everything you possibly can yourself. Anything you can't, go check out Heaven's Harvest. 10% off with promo code PERMA. And if you want to tip a pimp, do it over there on the Fountain app. Listen to all your podcasts over there, even triple up the speed. And if you want to drop a derivation of Bitcoin on a player, which is called Satoshis, well, as always, drop a SAT on a PIMP. All right, so I'm going to cover all the housekeeping mostly up front here. Redemption Shield. Look, y'all, I'm all about grounding, and I got a video that's all set, you know, going into great detail. And as I was going to put that thing out, then, you know, disaster strikes in a much deeper way than anybody out here expected, or at least anybody at this household expected. So, look, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Sometimes they got specials where you can even add a little bit more. With all the stuff going on around you right now, y'all, trust me, if you see this video I just did on Green Wave, it kind of goes hand in hand with it. You can mitigate a lot of the dumb stuff that's happening in your home just by getting some of these grounding mats. Or if you're at work, take one, plug it in a wall. I mean, if you can't take your shoes off, at least put your arms on it, man. Stay grounded as often as you possibly can, y'all. Check out the work of Clint Ober. Check out the documentary Earthing. You'll be glad you did. And also, remember, $50 off EMP Shield. Look, things are jumping off. And you notice I said that I jumping off. I mean, they're happening every single day. I can't even keep up with it all, especially with all the dumb stuff I'm dealing with right now. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, you're not looking to go to the club. You just got to get to the house or get to your bug out location. And look, if things jump off even at the house, in terms of an EMP, this thing can withstand quite a few of them. In terms of a lightning strike, it can stand one of them. And if it doesn't do what it's supposed to, well, they're going to cover you for 25 Gs. EMP Shield. And then 5% off Green Wave filters with promo code PERMA. All, you know, PERMA is always the promo code or the discount code, really, on all this stuff. So 5% at Greenwave Filters. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't point out Harvestrite freeze dryers. We got those down below. I don't have a promo code for them because they're already discounted as low as they can go. So, folks, the reason I did it this way is this is going to be more of a condensed version. It's not going to be the usual regimen. Most of this show is probably going to consist of, by and large, it's going to consist of, I guess you can call it a monologue, or, you know, I'm all alone in here, so I guess I'll call it a soliloquy. But I'm basically going to give you the updates and things we've learned so far, and it's not by any means comprehensive, but it's, if you don't know, if you're new to this podcast, look, or if you just emerged out of a long nature hike and you just found out that it looks like Godzilla just walked all over Western North Carolina, and really this, really a whole third of the country for the most part, it seems. Yeah, so we were part of that and we're still going through it. And folks, I got to be honest with you, man, what I've just witnessed from the state, local, county, mostly the city governments, and I'm talking like Asheville and stuff like that, y'all, is the biggest embarrassment I've ever seen in my life. First of all, if you're listening to the radio, as this thing was unfolding, you're expecting radio stations and like NPR and things like that to give you kind of constant updates of, hey, these roads are closed. You think somebody would have mentioned that I-40 both ways was shut down. That way people would not have been congesting the traffic and make it worse. It was almost as if things were intended, like they intentionally made it this way. Nobody mentioned the fact that I-26 North was completely shut down and still is. Nobody mentioned any of this stuff on any of the radio stations. I kid you not, hat tip to my friends, to the homesteading twins. Michelle just showed me this little sticker they made out. But I mean, seriously, they're talking about trans-testicle polar bear rights. Meanwhile, you got this calamity going on right here, and nobody locally, I'm talking, none of the local news is saying anything about anything. You're just having to figure this thing out by yourself. So, if, you know, Asheville, granted, is about the size of Texarkana and about roughly the same population, although a lot more going on here. But the point of it being is that with the radio stations, TV stations, there was not one helpful thing that was disseminated. Well, apparently they got enough complaints and they said, Michelle and I are listening, and they're like, well, we had a number of complaints, and now, and of course, I got to do it in the NPR voice. We've had a number of complaints, and it seems as if folks would prefer, they would never say folks, that the local inhabitants or trans-testicle polar bears would like us to cover some of the local happenings. You think? You got a devastating, I mean, you got people that still haven't been found yet. And they're talking about national NPR. They're playing a game show on Saturday. Are you kidding me? And Sunday, it was the most embarrassing spectacle I've ever seen. And what made it even worse, y'all? Look, I'm not here to just complain. I'm here to give you some solutions on some of this stuff as well. But just bear with me. I kid you not, they have a city press conference. Nobody apparently for days and days has been able to find the mayor of Asheville. Turns out she's doing a interview today with NPR and saying, well, basically it's, you know, whenever a calamity jumps off, it's basically goes to the county level and we just acquiesce. What do you think? You might've told somebody that they just now, days later, Monday, decide to tell everybody, oh yeah, the mayor has to acquiesce. I mean, people are looking to hear from the mayor. They hear nothing and they don't even hear anything barely from the county people. Then the DEI hires are the ones that get me. I just did a video on the front porch right before I walked in this studio. It's probably going to come out today if we can maintain any kind of internet service. But I kid you not, I swear I was listening to a rap convention when they get these, I don't know what they are. They got to be DEI hires that they have as part of the city emergency management. And the guy's like, you know, they doing what they doing. It going to be all right. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to hear from an emergency management specialist. It's going to be, and I quote, Really? Oh, it gets better. They got this lady, this hood rat from, I think, Franklin County. She says, man, I got to get this right. I kid you not. I wish I was recording this. And she says, man, it would almost, I could laugh. I mean, folks, you know, I like to think I got a sense of humor, even in rough times, but good night, man. She gets on there and says something like, well, we ain't got no updates. That's exactly what she says. And then the lady, she's trying to be polite. She says, well, there's nothing to report. Well, we frustrated just like everybody else. frustrated like everybody else, but we ain't got nothing to report. That's what she said. I kid you not. Folks, I'm sitting there driving down the, I'm driving down the road at the time I'm listening to this, and I'm like, just had to be a brother. I'm like, is this happening? What reality am I in right now where somebody said, yeah, boy, she seems like a really awesome spokesman. Let's put her out there. Yeah, I'm frustrated like everybody else. Frustrated. Yeah, there's a lot of frustrated people in Franklin County, I can guarantee you. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was Franklin County is where this girl was from. And I'm like, okay, this is DEI for you. This is DEI for you. Just keeping it real, y'all. I mean, look, I don't care about anybody's background. You know, if you're capable and you speak like a thug, okay, maybe you stay in that position, but we don't put you out there as a spokesman because it's hardly, you know, there's nobody out there with any sense at all saying, you know what? I'd really like to have that person in my mutual assistance group. There's nobody with any sense at all thinking this. Folks, these are the ones in charge. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, the Berlin airlift, you know, right. How did we get stuff into Germany, West Germany, right after the war? Or I guess technically the war was still going on, but, you know, you have Russia on one side, us on the other. What were they doing? Truman told them, hey, just fly a bunch of planes, bring supplies over. Well, there's nothing wrong with the Asheville airport. Why couldn't they be doing that? Why couldn't they basically take all of the supplies, fly them in on C-5s or C-130s or 141s, I don't care what, pick your poison, and then literally sling load all of those supplies to the areas, the outlying areas that need them. It would be a simple, simple task because it's not as if this, you know, the tarmacs were messed up at the airport. Why couldn't they do that? But they didn't. Even some of the lunatic lefties are in here asking, well, what's going on with the response, man? I mean, I know we only have like one major thoroughfare going into Asheville, but it should be of no consequence. I mean, if you understand how the military works, I mean, good night. It could not get worse than this. As far as the response, it's almost as if it is being done on purpose. It reminds me of a lot of Katrina and a lot of the other things that were going on. I was on the phone today with, a friend down in Florida, and she was telling me and Michelle, nobody's talking about it, but they basically had another, they're absolutely devastated down there too. I don't know what's going on or what they're talking about in the national media. Frankly, I just haven't had time. We went out doing wellness checks today. Yeah, you're going to like this one. Go up to this place down the road here where there's this older lady. Go up there. Old man answers the door. Ain't got a shirt on. Okay, I can dig it. He comes out. Nice enough guy. And then we're asking, hey, do you need any food and water? You know, can we help you out? What can we do for you? Well, I got water. I got to get it out of the well over there by hand, but I got water. And food, the old lady, this is what he said. The old lady went to Tennessee with somebody else and she ought to be coming back. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't you go? You're the man. You look capable. He says, and then I kid you not, he says, by the way, y'all know who won that Pittsburgh game last night? And I'm just like, Michelle, just jump in the truck, pull out. You gets nothing. I don't care what you need, man. If that's the only thing you can think to ask me, I'll give my help to somebody who does need it. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have dopes everywhere, y'all. But like I said, clearly not somebody you want in your mutual assistance group. Now, I'm going to start talking about all the errors and the other things. I'm going to talk about some of the lessons I've learned so far. Folks, I got a list and I'm checking it twice. And frankly, for a person who's an expert in something like this, there's a lot of holes. I mean, and you ask anybody that's been at this a long, long time as I have, well over two decades, and there is nobody I know in the preparedness space, not one, who would ever call themselves fully prepared or think that they they're always wondering, man, what did I leave out? What did I leave out? But you never find out until actually something happens. Now, got all the food we could, we got all the food we need, got all the water, and it helps living in a, you know, a temperate rainforest. But folks, you know, I got generators that are on lock. What I didn't do is get enough gasoline. I got plenty of propane, you know, that's not a problem. And that's what, you know, the generators run on. It's cool if you get a dual use propane generator. And honestly, with my electrical background, you know, that helps as well. I will also point out the fact that, yeah, okay, I should have got more fuel. There are other things around here, things I knew and I had them on my list to do, but I didn't do. One of them being, think about this, folks. I'm not going to speak too technically here as an electrician, but I'm just going to break it down to where it makes sense. Okay. There's a lot of people out there that have these solar generators, but they're only 120 volt. I've talked briefly about this before. Most wells are running on 240 volts. I got news for you. You ain't getting water up out of that well unless you got 240 volts. And if you think you're going to take two of those 120s and put them together, I got news for you. That ain't working either. Now, EcoFlow does make a model that will handle that. That's the problem with a lot of these solar things that people are now realizing, oh, shoot, now I'm not one of them. But think about how much energy. There is nothing that has a higher specific heat than water, meaning that it takes more energy to raise the temperature or lower the temperature of water than it does any other substance on the planet. Well, that being the case, that's the reason why your body's made mostly of water. That's why you don't boil every time it gets hot, you know, or, you know, turn into a block of ice every time it gets cold. So you can use that as your advantage, but it is a tremendous disadvantage if you're trying to heat that water because it takes so much energy from your preparedness items to do that. So if you have a water tank, a hot water tank, and you have a generator running out there, let's say it's a 5 kVA generator, you know, your standard 5 kVA, mine are significantly larger. You have to turn everything else off just to turn that on, and you still might trip a breaker because it's a 30 amp. Nine times out of 10, most of your electrical water heaters are 30 amp. Well, that's using up everything you have coming off that generator in most cases, unless you've got a 50 amp like I do. But a solar water heater is something I was thinking about. There's this other idea that I have. It's not my idea. Actually, I want to adapt it. I don't know who came up with it exactly. But a water heater that you heat with compost. Think that might be helpful in a situation like this? Or just take cold showers or, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's one thing you might want to think about as well. If you don't have 240 coming on your house and you expect to heat up some water, you got a problem. Another thing, you're heating in air. Okay, most of that stuff, unless you got gas, and same thing with your dryer. Your dryer is going to run on 240 volts. Your oven, if it's electrical, is going to run on 240 volts. So you better be thinking about a plan B. Do you have a hot plate? If you don't have a whole house generator or anything like it, these are things that you seriously have to consider. Now, these aren't holes that are necessarily in my game, but they are in the people around me. So I want to make sure that in terms of your preparedness, from an electrical standpoint, you're thinking about these things. Also, your fuel for your vehicles. Okay, so I got, what, 5 vehicles here. And they're all filled up for the most part, except for the one we've been using to get around a little bit. Now, by and large, they're all filled up. But I was thinking, okay, I'll go later on and get more fuel. I didn't do it. So I should have done it. So that was one area. And having more fuel storage, that was another area where I screwed up. Should have been rotating that stuff out better than I have. So I screwed up there. But it's not a big calamity because we have multiple means in which to provide power around here. But that's not going to be the case for most people out there. Other giant holes in the game are seriously a viable mutual assistance group. I've been so down as of late of working with other people because, man, I'll be honest with y'all. In most cases, man, with the groups and the people that I've been around, They're more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. I mean that. They talk a big game, but when it comes down to brass tacks, man, they really don't have anything to offer. And I'm dead serious, y'all. Preparedness, every time a Democrat's in office, becomes something of a fad. And then as soon as a Republican goes in, you can ask anybody, I mean, ask Bobby Spaggs, ask anybody I know in the preparedness group that's been at it a while, they'll tell you about the same phenomenon. Every time a Republican's in office, everybody goes right back in the matrix. Every time a Democrat's in office, then all these people come out of the woodworks and you know who they are. Well, you can choose to be that, but look, y'all, the closer we get to this election and even afterwards, things are going to ramp up. And I got a feeling by December, at this rate, I'm not so sure anybody's even going to recognize this country. And I'm not believing for a minute. If you check out the work of Dane Wigington, if you doubt me, go to YouTube and check out Geoengineering Watch and look out the latest thing. And yes, they are steering these storms. They have been for the longest time. And all the data is out there. It's just nobody wants to look at it. And they would rather call somebody a conspiracy theorist than actually look at it. And by the way, I'm going to have Dane Wigington in. I'm going to hopefully be speaking to him live on Wednesday. And we're going to be discussing a lot of this stuff about how they can use these transmission lines, not transmission lines, but microwave towers to basically steer these storms. And they've been doing it forever. And this is one of them. And there was a lot of crazy anomalies. I mean, down in Acapulco had another hurricane that just came in that nobody knew about. They're playing with the weather, and you're going to see more and more of it. In fact, it looks like if you go to Weatherman Plus, it looks like we got two more storms heading this way. One of them probably not going to go any further than Florida, but the other one seems, by his measurements, and he was the only one that called this thing from the word go, he's the only one that basically said, hey, this thing's probably going to track in the same exact way as this one that just hit us did. What do you think that's going to be like? If we get another one that comes through just like it just did, I mean, this is unprecedented, unheard of, because the ground's already saturated and the place is already devastated. But yeah, folks, I mean, it's, I'm going to try to steer this program more into more preparedness. Look, permaculture is my passion. Ain't no doubt about that, but so is preparedness. And I was into preparedness long before I was into permaculture. Now, permaculture just, it seems like the logical step is to get into preparedness if you're into permaculture and vice versa. But folks, I got to be honest with you. This stuff is going to, look, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm just going to keep it real, as they say. This thing is only going to get worse. And you could see this thing just, you know, they're doing every possible thing they can to kick off the next world war. And I mean everything. I can't even believe the level of restraint that Russia has shown. I can't even believe the level of restraint that is going on out there with some of these Middle Eastern countries, because you can see everything is being done to try to kick this thing off. And if I got a feeling that if they can't actually kick it off, they'll do a false flag and blame somebody else for it. I mean, you can already see them, you know, setting the stage to try to go to war in Iran. You can see it all happening. And who exactly is responsible? Look, I don't know. I mean, left, right, blue state, red state, at the end of the day, it's the state against you. So what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to acquiesce, go in the corner? I mean, just die in place like, you know, somebody worried about the Pittsburgh game? Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to stand up and start kicking some butt? And I don't mean physically going out there, you know, doing any violence or anything like that. I'm saying, look, y'all, I've been warning you forever and a day, and a number of others out there have been doing the very same thing. There are people in the middle of the worst calamity of their lives. And it's especially devastating in these mountains because, unlike, let's say, a tornado that hits, let's say, Oklahoma, like Moore, Oklahoma. I was there when that one happened back in May 3rd. I was literally, we drove into it, strangely enough. And we walked out of Crossroads Mall and I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. The difference between a place like Oklahoma and the place like the mountains, like where we are here, is that there are very few points of egress, meaning that because of the nature of the topography here, is that there's no driving across a field and getting to the next road. It ain't happening. It ain't going to happen. It's part of the allure of living here. Also, there's a prepper group I know of in Black Mountain. I was made aware of it today. They're stranded on the top of this, on one of their places up in Black Mountain. And they were going to have somebody drone in some supplies while the FAA and everybody else in the military shut them down. Meanwhile, these people are up there suffering in the worst kind of way. I mean, they stay up there too long, man. In some of these places, man, it's going to wind up being like the Donner Party. And it's like the state, county, local governments seem to be slow walking everything. And there's no way to get in and out. It's only going to get worse, sadly. So get your preps in order right now. And one of the ways to do that, y'all, is through these events. And let me go ahead and tell you about some of those coming up. Now, some people were asking about Ben and Denise over at Renewed Homestead. They reached out to Michelle today, and they finally got to town. They're in Burnsville. Burnsville, man, was absolutely decimated. I mean, we couldn't even drive over there. We tried. Couldn't even get over there because the bridge had washed out between Mars Hill and Burnsville. And then the other thoroughfares going in apparently are just as bad. So they were working on it when we looked at it yesterday, I believe. But they got a homesteader meetup coming up on October 5th. Hopefully that's still going to happen. I haven't heard any one way or the other. Hopefully I can get better comms with them here in the coming days, but I can't waste gas going back over there. So I can't get a hold of them through. And that's another thing, communications, y'all. That's one area where I've honestly neglected for the most part because I'm like, man, by and large, I mean, I got ham radios, but we just don't have our network set up. And that's my fault. That's another one of the big areas in which I will not fail at again, where I could have been possibly getting some good information. I wasn't. And by the way, here's another big pet peeve of mine, and it always has been before I go back to this. Man, I got to point this out. I don't know why people do this, but there are some diabolical SOBs out there, and the people I'm talking about are the ones that go out there and intentionally put out bad information, like telling people that a bridge collapsed when it didn't, or telling people that a dam is about to burst, creating all this fear. I mean, those are the people I can't stand. And a lot of that sort of thing is happening. I mean, it is truly unbelievable. But a lot of that stuff is going on too. So you got that homesteader meetup. That's going to be in Burnsville, but not in the place that's affected. Hopefully that's still going to happen October 5th. So go to renewedhomestead.com and go RSVP. And that's going to be Saturday. Hopefully a whole lot happens between now and then. Because I'd love to see a lot of y'all. And I'm hoping to do a little bit of cooking, whether I'm still on generator power or not. Mountain Readiness, that's going to be October 18th through the 20th in Harmony, North Carolina. They were unaffected by this. But folks, look, if there was ever a time to go out here and get some training, man, that you may be slipping on, now is the time to get it done. The pig processing, that's going to happen down at Jason from So the Land. They're without power. I spoke to Jason today. They're without power, but we're all filled up on our October 25th and 26th class. But the November 15th and 16th, man, you want to get this information. Let's say the same thing pops off again, y'all. And, you know, it always cracks me up that people say, well, I'll just go hunting. I only hear that, you know, if a calamity jumps off. I only hear that from people that have never been hunting before. I never hear that from experienced people that have actually spilled blood. There's a reason why it's not called killing. But anyway, if you need some of that training, the method I'm going to teach you will work no matter the animal. That's November 15th and 16th. And then Kentucky Sustainable Living, that's going to be October 26th and 27th. And that's in Bowling Green, Kentucky. That's a really good show as well. My son's going to be there. And folks, find this training anywhere you can. If you think you're just going to put it off and you'll catch it next time around, folks, there may not be a next time around. That's how crazy everything is. All right, with that, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, are we beyond the 100-year event In permaculture, we design to the 100-year event. We size our water harvesting systems according to the record 24-hour rainfall totals in the last 100 years. Storms are becoming more frequent and more extreme, naturally or manufactured. Do we need to now look at the 500 or 1,000-year probabilities? The destruction in Western North Carolina is heartbreaking. It's clear most people had no idea it was even possible. Was it predictable based on the 100-year event, or was it beyond even a 1 in 1,000 event? It's hard to know. There's so many factors involved. The 24-hour rain totals were actually less than the floods of 1916, but most of all the heights of the rivers exceeded those records. It might have been simply a 1 in 100 rain event, but the development since 1916 made the destruction exceed a 1 in 1,000 event. In permaculture, we use many small-scale systems instead of a few large, out-of-scale ones, because when they fail, the destruction is catastrophic, especially when we build cities downstream from large reservoirs. So how can we learn from this? Do you know your 100-year events? Are you downstream from a large dam, one with questionable maintenance practices? Do you have your basic emergency preparations done? Can you survive without electricity for a week or more? Sadly, I fear events like these will become the new normal, which means it's more important than ever to get your house in order and then look to build a community of resilience. As Bill Mollison said, either we survive together or none of us survive. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. Boy, he just knocked it right out of the park, y'all. And that's exactly with all of our, you know, we have a ready, fire, aim society, y'all. We think about how to mitigate problems, even though they could have been solved on the front end. I mean, when you have a permaculture lens, y'all, when you do a permaculture design course, you never look at the world ever the same again. You look at fields and you'll say, man, it could be done so much better. You look at forest systems and you think, man, that really doesn't look all that efficient. You look at the way our housing is done. You look at the way you do your business. You look at the way you do your jobs. It changes everything about your perspective. You know, instead of giving somebody how cool would it be? Now, I know Bill Mollison wasn't a big fan of this, but man, I'll tell you what, I wonder how much you could change the planet if you had permaculture design course as an elective in high school. How cool would that be? I mean, I can't even imagine what we would put out over the course. I mean, with the right instructor, clearly, in the course of an entire semester, how many people would become farmers? How many poor people would be considerate about, like Eric's talking about, you know, the design of their house? Where, for example, I was working on an earthship in Arizona, and I couldn't understand why. The guy doing this house, he understood. I mean, kudos to him for putting in the earthship and, you know, he's capturing water off his roof. But even with the water that would be captured in Arizona, I was out there calculating the rainfall totals out there. And I was like, well, you know, I won't say his name, but I was like, hey, if you were to, every single thing in Arizona is to drive the water away when it happens. I'm like, dude, what if you were to design the outside of your property to capture every bit of rainfall that comes down? You wouldn't have to worry about a truck to come in because you have all the filtering systems, everything you need. Why not put these things in place? Yeah, there'll be like intermittent ponds and stuff, but those are things that you could restock your reservoir or basically store it in the ground because most people are pumping it out of the ground out of there anyway. Why not recharge your aquifers? Why not do these things? And, I might as well have been speaking Swahili. And he didn't get it. He didn't get it at all. But yeah, I can't help but wonder if, like Eric was talking about, instead of everybody dumping every bit of rainfall into the river over here, the French Broad, instead of that happening, remember what we always talk about? Rain is energy. So you can either capture it for a while, you can deflect it, you can even amplify it. Well, there's times where that amplification can be devastating, like when good night. You're seeing it right now. Folks, I live literally a stone's throw from the town of Marshall. And it was one of our favorite places to go. I mean, to go out there, and there's a lot of really cool places to go in Western North Carolina. It is wiped off the flipping map. I am dead serious. Marshall, Hot Springs has got to be the same exact way. Every low-lying, I remember telling Michelle last time we were going out there looking for a fishing spot, I was looking at all these homes. I was like, man, what on earth are they going to do if a 100-year rain event comes by with these houses? There's not a one of them standing right now. Not a one of them. Because nobody, like Eric said, considered we need to be thinking about a 1,000-year rain event. Part of the reason why I live where I live on the side of a mountain. Now, there are pluses and minuses to all this, not only from a tactical standpoint, but also from a permaculture standpoint. But at the end of the day, you know, all these things can be mitigated. And I'm in the process of trying to fix some of that stuff right now in my own place. And it's, you know, this isn't something that just happens in the season. I mean, we're not the Rockefellers here, y'all. We got to do these things as we're able. But really and truly, if any of those things have been accounted for, the devastation that unfolded would have been nowhere close to what it was. Not even close. And if you think you're waiting on the city managers, this is why, if you had a permaculture background and you learned the things that Eric was just speaking of, you would think twice about buying some of these houses in these low-lying areas, especially alongside the river. Yeah, there was a lot of great, one of my favorite taco places was by the river. It ain't there now. I mean, everything down there is absolutely decimated. But everything on high ground, and even there, isn't the best place because, like Eric was talking about, because our poor management, because they clear-cut the forest above them, now what happens? Now you got landslides. Nothing holding that ground together. I mean, you got practically a pyroclastic flow when you get rainfall events like that. I mean, folks, there's a sinkhole in Mars Hill that you could bury an entire... I mean, you could probably bury 5 elephants in this thing of what I just witnessed today. I mean, it is absolutely beyond, it's hard to even describe the devastation. And I'm not going to be, and look, as a side note, anybody that's wanting any pictures of the devastation and all that stuff, man, you're going to have to go somewhere else, man. I don't do that thing. In fact, there's a couple of YouTubers out there, you know, the gratuitous types that are acting, I mean, like 3 videos in a row about, and then they, you know, their thumbnail picture is like they're in the middle, like they're a Stanislavski method actor in the silent movies on the front of this thing. It's appalling what I see happening. I'm seeing the best in people, but I'm also seeing the worst. And those are the people I'm trying to stay clear from. In fact, I might even do another parody video making fun of these people because I think they deserve it. And plus, I could use a little bit of the humor myself. Well, folks, this is our bandwidth and our, in order to record this show, we got to use a thing called StreamYard, which means we got to have internet. And it's been so spotty as of late. I didn't prep a proper show. I just wanted to give you more of an update right now. And we're not by any means suffering, but we are, in fact, a little inconvenienced. That's about the only way I can put it. I mean, when you're dealing with generators, you got to load shed, you got to do this, you got to do that. It's requiring a little bit more out of us than typically would be required. So forgive me if I don't have a regular show planned, but I wanted to give you something of an update. And plus, it's honestly, seriously cathartic to be able to get behind this microphone and get off my chest because Michelle can only hear so much before she's like, okay, enough already. All right, y'all. Hopefully some of this stuff was a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert, stay alive. They don't want an individual just to carve a copy. You sitting that man a cottage. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze. Got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle. But I'm a warrior.